We're moved to do something. Last week we looked at love involves sacrifice. And certainly when you think of in the case of the rich young ruler that we read about in that story, God wanted him to sacrifice everything, the idol of his heart, so that he could love Jesus as he should. Today's message will be love sees the potential in people. Love sees the potential in people. And here's a question for you. When you look at others, how do you see them? How do you look at them? You know, we often will look at people where they are rather than where they can be. How many of you ever heard of the website Pinterest? You ever heard of the website Pinterest? My wife loves Pinterest. She showed it to me one time. And she showed me how that in Pinterest is a website where I guess you sign up and they share ideas on crafts and hobbies and things that they do. You know, it's an amazing thing what when you take a milk carton, what you can make out of it. You know, or maybe a throwaway box. They can do some great things with it. It's interesting how that craft people can see so much worth in that which I would throw away. But the unfortunate reality is that's kind of how we look at people. We tend to see some people as not having worth in our minds. I mean, it sure is comforting to know that God doesn't think like that. It sure is comforting to know that God does not see us that way. You see, when Jesus came 2,000 years ago, when he left heaven's glory to come to earth, he saw a world that was messy, a world that was affected by sin. And he saw people just like you and me. And he came to where we were so that we could be what he wanted to do in our life and what he wanted us to be. Though we turned our back on him, though we rejected him, though it was as if we didn't care about God, but God cared very much about us because of his great love. We're learning the underlying verse in this series is 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18. Can we say this verse together? Ready? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. One more time. Let's try one more time. Ready? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, love is not just a static emotion. Love is that which moves us to action, that which causes us to want to love others. And God wants us to look at others as he looks at them. In John chapter 1, we read the story about what God sees the potential in others. You want to turn in your app or your Bible, whatever you use, to John chapter 1. We're going to read the story. We pick it up at verse number 40. And notice what the scripture says. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now you have to understand, the first century, these two men that he mentions here in the passage, they were Jewish in their descent. They were looking for a coming deliverer. They were looking for one who was going to be a political deliverer, one who would conquer the Roman oppression of the first century. And now they saw Jesus as being that, that military or that political leader, and they were convinced at that point that the Messiah, Jesus, is the Messiah who's going to deliver them. What they didn't realize is he was going to deliver them very differently than political. He was going to be the spiritual deliverer. But we learned that these two men were fishermen. You know, since Andrew was so convinced that the Messiah had come, he wanted Peter to meet this deliverer, and he goes to where Peter was, and obviously this was in the Sea of Galilee, right close to the Sea of Galilee. How many of you like fishing? All right, great. You know, we think of fishing as having like a fishing pole, sitting on the side of a bank, maybe with a soda or a cup of coffee. We're sitting there with a pole, we throw it in the water, and we wait on the big one to come along. But that's not the kind of fishing we're talking about here. I mean, for these guys, it wasn't about just trying to catch one fish for the day. It was catching many fish for a business. I mean, fishing was a major international business at the time of Peter and Andrew. Peter was a good businessman. We can get intimated by the very fact that he owns his own fishing boat, because most people didn't even own a fishing boat in the first century. But fishermen were a special class of people. I mean, for a fisherman, it was a strenuous, strenuous work. And for them, they worked very hard. But the fishermen were crude in manner. They were rough in speech, and their treatment of others was unmentionable. This was seen in the scenes and snapshots that we see in Peter's life. There's no doubt about it. When you read about it, that they were tough, rough, around the edges kind of guys. But they were fearless. I mean, it didn't matter what the weather was. It didn't matter what the obstacles were. They stayed with it. They weren't going to give up. They weren't impatient. They stayed by the stuff. This was what God could use. This is what God was about to use to establish the founding of the church. Let's pick up the rest of the story. Look at verse 42 with me, please, if you'll notice. And when Jesus beheld him, that is Simon, he said to him, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Now, Simon meets Jesus, and Jesus changes his name from Simon to Cephas, the Greek interpretation or the Greek translation of Peter, which means a stone. He's a stone. Now, Jesus didn't see him as Simon. He saw him as Peter. I mean, how could that happen? I mean, what was he looking at? He was looking at the potential in Peter rather than how Peter was. And what does that mean to us? Well, you see, the truth of the matter is God does not see us as we are, but as we can be. God did not look down the world and see the world that was wrecked by sin and said, "Well, there's nothing we can do about that." God looked down the world and saw the world that was in need of a Savior, and he was willing to come so they could be what God wanted them to be. But you see, Peter had many flaws in his life. I mean, there were many things that Peter's life, when we look at, I mean, it's amazing as we read about him in the Gospels. Do you know that Peter was proud? Matthew 26, verse 33 tells us that. He was disloyal when he denied Jesus. He was a racist in Galatians chapter 2. He was a liar in Matthew 26, verse 70. He was impulsive in Matthew 17 and verse 4. He was unstable in John 21 and verse 3. He was selfish in Matthew 26 and verse 40. And he was even headstrong in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 74. I mean, Peter was something else. But all of the, and here's the strange thing. All these flaws are mentioned about Peter after he met Jesus, after Jesus began to work in his life. Can you only imagine what he must have been before he met Jesus? But with all of those qualities, let me ask you a question. How would you have viewed Jesus? How do you view other people with less flaws than we find in Peter's life? How do you look at them? Do you see them as they are? Or do you see them as they can be? Jesus didn't say, well, it's just how Peter is. It's not going to get any better. He's just the way he is. No, Jesus looked at Peter differently. Jesus looked at Peter and said, I'm going to change your life. I'm going to make you a different person. I'm going to do something for you that will go down in Christian history because I want you to know that I love you. It will begin today. And even though Peter was completely human and he had all the flaws and the normal weaknesses of a human being, God's love and compassion began to work in his life and changed him into a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Now, his life was messy. There's no doubt about it. But have you ever thought about it this way? Peter's life may have been messy, but God cleaned it up. Because God works that way. You see, oftentimes we find ourselves sort of casting judgment on people as they are. We see people just where they are, rather than see what can God do in their life. When David, the shepherd boy, the youngest of the sons of Benjamin, when they found him, they were confused. How in the world could this boy be who God wanted? Reminded us that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the just as an artist can see a beautiful picture on a blank canvas, or an architect can draw a house plan that can change a family, Jesus sees the potential in Peter, the potential in Peter that can do great things for him. Just as Steve Jobs saw how he could take a box and connect to the world with images and messages, Jesus looks at the potential and says, I can do something for them. You see, that's what love does. That's how love is so different. That's how love is what God says that God can do. Because Jesus knew the transforming power of the gospel. Jesus knew that the gospel could change a person's life. And when I think of the power of the gospel, I'm reminded of what Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Here's what it says. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The word power is what we get our root word dynamite from. Now, I have a sort of a visual for us. This is an 8-inch, 1.25-inch diameter. This is the exact size of a dynamite stick. Now, if you had a dynamite stick and you stuck it inside a refrigerator and lit it, and then stuck it inside the refrigerator, I should say it that way. When it explodes, that entire refrigerator disintegrates right before you. into thousands of pieces. You never think something as little as that could pack that much power. But God says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the dynamite of God. It's that which God can do. It's that which God can explode and change our life. Where I grew up in West Virginia, there were mountains. And if you wanted to make a road, you either had to level off the top of the mountain or you had to tunnel your way through. And they would use sticks of dynamite to blow holes and move off dirt and level off hillsides so they could build highways. And here's what God is saying to us. God is saying that the gospel is so powerful that it destroys the bondage of sin in our lives. That when Peter met Jesus, he began a work in Peter's life. And the moment that he accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that work was just the beginning. Because we know that God worked in Peter's life, and it took time for him to grow as a believer. In fact, the flaws I mentioned were still there after he accepted Jesus. Those things that I mentioned aren't things before he met Christ, it's after he met Christ. But God was changing him over time. As we read the Gospels, it sort of just lays out for us where Peter is and some of the struggles that Peter had and some of those things he was dealing with in life. But when we get to the book of Acts, now the story changes. You see, it was the gospel that made all the difference in the world. And those flaws had delivered Peter from who he was and leveled off his life. And now, at that point, he was a committed follower of Jesus. In fact, he was martyred as a follower of Christ. Though he had denied Jesus, yet at the time, God had was working in his life and changed him. I like what Alexander McLaren said. No man's character is so obstinately rooted in evil, but that Christ can change its set and direction. You see, we don't have to see ourselves as having no potential, because within us there is no potential, but the gospel changes everything. The gospel can make all the difference in the world. Paul writes it this way. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What is it? It's the power of the gospel. You see, just as Jesus looked beyond the present life of Peter, we can also look at the potential because of the gospel. The potential is connected to the hope in Jesus. And as our mission is, we want to help real families experience real hope in Jesus. But how does this work? How can we see the potential? I mean, sometimes we're confronted with things and we say, how can we see the potential of these? Well, there are three views that we have to have. Number one, love sees the potential through God's grace. By the way, how many of you are glad for God's grace? Let me see your hands. Aren't you glad? Thank God for his grace. The more we understand the gospel, the more we see God's power. The more we understand that a man, when he receives Jesus, he is placed into the family of God. He has now not earned grace, because grace is not earned favor, but it's given to us by a loving Savior. But it's the forgiveness. We are the recipients of God's forgiveness. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The word save means to be delivered from sin's bondage and the penalty of sin and be accepted as a part of God's family. Peter was a part of God's family, and God was changing him. And as I begin to look at and love people, and that's the thing that we look at here with what Jesus did when he saw Peter. He looked at Peter and he saw the potential in Peter because of the power of the gospel. And love sees the potential through God's grace. But secondly, love sees the potential when man gives grace. We know that God gives grace. He tells us that. We saw that even in the scriptures, that there in Ephesians 2, that most of us even memorize that. If we're new Christians, we memorize that verse. But what about us? How do we see people? Sometimes I think we get nearsighted on how we see people. Kind of have this nearsighted kind of, maybe this tunnel vision of people. I remember when I was a teenager, growing up in the 70s, we teenagers had some pretty weird looking clothes. How many of you remember the 70s? Some of you might remember that. How many remember the 70s? Weren't they really weird? I mean, they were bell-bottom blue jeans, tie-dyed shirts, flip-flops. By the way, they made a comeback since then, all right? Guys had long hair. In fact, when you think about it, what was the potential of those in the 70s for God? Really? I mean, just look at this style. I mean, really? I like the bell bottoms, though. You know, they're cool. Right? What I really like the most, if you look at the bottom, they have platform shoes. Being a short guy, any way you can get 4 inches or more, that's great. But that's how people, and I'm sure that when pastors and all, and they looked out and they saw people coming, like, wow. You had to see people through the eyes of potential. Can they be used by God? How about this? Can he be used by God? That was me in 1974, I believe it was. 75. Can he be used by God? Really? I mean, the hair, the bell bottoms, that was a 67 Plymouth. I mean, can he really be used? Thank you. Really encouraging. I appreciate that. Ushers, throw him out. No. I'm sure that I know that there were people who said it's impossible because all they could see was the weird clothes and the long hair. They did not see the potential that God could have used me. And I'm going to tell you something. Honestly, over the years, so often I've been like Peter. I've stumbled along the way, and I'm still stumbling along the way. But I can tell you that the power of the gospel is working in my life every day. I'm thankful that there were some people that were encouraging to me, that loved me in spite of me. I'm glad there were some people that cared enough to say, you know what? He's not what I think he should be, but I'm going to trust God to take care and work in his life. And I had a youth pastor that prayed for me and encouraged me. And I've had people over the years that God's brought in my life that encouraged me, and I just want you to know that that's exactly the role that many times God places people in our life so we can love them and see the potential in them. When we love people, we see the potential through the eyes of grace. Maybe messy at times, but through God's grace, we can encourage and love people. By the way, my dad found that picture. Wasn't the best one, but that's the only one he could find. I'm glad it was the only one. So, but I'm going to tell you, when I was in high school, George, what was that comment about? Yes, sir, it was high school. When I was in high school, we had a kid in our class who was struggling. I mean, he was failing everything. And I remember us kids, we used to sit around, we laughed at him, felt, you dumb kid, you know, he's dummy. And we gave him a bad time. And I'm sure I was probably the ringleader. But what we did know is that his mother was dying at home. And he was going home every day. And he was caring for his dying mother. He was trying to help her. He didn't have a normal life like most of us did. His mother was so sick. And he would go home. And he would spend the entire rest of the day after school looking after his sick mother. Never had time for studies. Never had time for social life. Never had time for anything else. He was just dealing with that. Eventually, his mother got better. And so did his grades. But if you were to ask me, when we met him, did he have any potential in his life? I said, no. That kid, he'll know, he won't even make it in through high school. But he graduated. And he was one of my dearest friends. You know, sometimes we don't show grace like we should. It's sad when we fail to not love as Jesus wants us to love. It's sad when we aren't willing to give someone else grace because we can give God's grace to someone just like God did for us. But then there's a third view in which we need to have where love sees the potential through the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not see Simon as he was, but Peter as he would become. Sometimes the reasons we don't see the potential is because we don't grasp the work of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. You realize that we can't begin to comprehend what the Holy Spirit can do in someone's life. I mean, while we can't ignore the reality of the world around us, we can believe that the Holy Spirit can work in someone's life. Let me ask you a question. Can the Holy Spirit work in your life? Has he worked in your life? In fact, if he's working in your life, you will find manifested, the Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says it this way, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's Galatians chapter 5. Are you kidding? The Holy Spirit can do that in my life? Absolutely. As God begins to work in our life, as we begin to mature as a Christian and the love of Christ is shed abroad and others around me are showing love and they're seeing the potential what God can do, we say it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is working in my life and he's shaping me and he's molding me. And I'm not all I should be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. And for you today, and for me, we may look and say, man, it's hard, Pastor, it's hard, but we have to see love like Jesus did. You know, Peter was shaped into one of the great leaders in the first century. In fact, he preached one of the most famous messages. In Jerusalem, where 3,000 people became followers of Jesus. Now, Peter would have never been able to preach that message when he first met Jesus. But it was only in time as God began to work in his life, and he had people who loved him, and God loved him, and he understood that love, and as he was shaped and molded, that God made Peter what God wanted him to be. Change life. What potential? In fact, the book of Galatians says of Peter that he was one of the pillars of the church. This guy? Really? He became a pillar of the church? Became a pillar of the church. Let me ask you a question. Who in your world? Who around you in your world? Did you think, well, that's just the way they are? I don't know if anything can change. I don't know if they can be any different than they are. Might be that neighbor. Maybe a guy you work next to. You know, the kind of guy that you just say, might be that kid you have. Maybe that child God's given you. Maybe a son, maybe it's a daughter. You might say, well, it's just the way they are. I don't know if there's any potential in them spiritually. I don't know if there's any potential for them that God... Really? Is that really true? Have you given up on them? But that grandchild, have you given up on them? Really? I'm not saying you don't love them, but can you see the potential? Can you see what God can do in their life? Today I want to ask you to make some decisions. Actually, there are three. I have written down two, but there are three. Let me give you number one. Will you ask God to give you a vision for the potential in others? I mean, that person may be stuck in a situation that just needs you to help them to get to Jesus. I've been there. Someone, somewhere in my past, when I was a young teenage boy, helped me to get to that place. Helped me to get to where God wanted me to be. And it could be that God has placed you there. And as you love people, whether it would be your children or grandchildren or brother or cousin or that guy at work or that neighbor or the kids that are up the street, and help them to get to Jesus. You don't know what they're dealing with in life. But just as Jesus saw us as in need of sinners, and he came to give us deliverance, I believe that God wants to deliver others as well. Here's a second question. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus, would you be willing to accept Jesus today? Would you let him be your Savior today? I'm not asking to be perfect because you're not. You're not going to be. We don't lean on our imperfections to take us to heaven. We lean on the perfections of Jesus to take us to heaven. That's why the Bible says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus, because of what he did for us. But here's another question. What potential does God see in your life that you are not fulfilling? What about your life? What is it that you are not fulfilling, that God sees in your life and says, boy, you know, I love them. I see so much potential in them, but they're not fulfilling that. I mean, Peter could have gone back. In fact, on one occasion, we find Peter says, I go fishing. Peter had been following Jesus all the way through. And then when Jesus was crucified, and he didn't understand about the resurrection. Boy, once he got it, though, he got it. When he did, it was dramatic, the difference in him. When he thought it was all said and done, he just said, I go fishing. I'm done. Maybe there's some people that say, yeah, I met Jesus, but I'm going fishing. Jesus said, no, I don't want you to fish. I don't want you to fish for fish. I want you to fish for men. I want you to serve me. There's something that God sees in us, a potential of what God wants to do. Maybe it's a connection group leader. Maybe it's leading out in your family and trying to help make your family what God would want them to be. Maybe it's to reach out to that wayward child and bring them back to Jesus. Or maybe it's just to do something that you can help advance what God wants to do in your world, the gospel of Christ. Inviting a neighbor, talking to a neighbor, praying with people, caring. You see, love sees potential. Let's pray. As our heads are bowed,